In the New Testament, one word is used more than any other to describe our relationship to Christ. It's not a politically correct word, and you won't hear it said in many churches these days, yet ignoring it is to miss some of the richest truth about salvation. John MacArthur explains on Grace to You Weekend. Who would want to be called a slave, much less be one? The concept, the very word, is offensive to modern ears. It comes with a lot of cultural baggage. No power, no rights, no resources of our own. A slave is stripped of everything except what the master provides. And yet, slave is a dominating identity that God uses to those he saves, though the term has all but disappeared from modern biblical translations. Today on Grace to You Weekend, John MacArthur brings this lost word into light in a lesson that might transform how you think about salvation, about following Christ and eternal life. John's message today is titled simply, Slaves for Christ. Here's John MacArthur now, picking up where he left off in our last broadcast.
We're going to turn to a subject in the New Testament that, as I think about it, is largely ignored and overlooked, and I've been made aware of that in recent months. It was not too many months ago that I was flying on one of those jumbo jets from Los Angeles to London, in the process reading a book that dealt with the issue of slavery in the New Testament time and in the New Testament text. It set me thinking in all kinds of directions. I actually finished the book on the flight. I was so wrapped in my attention to this particular theme. Being a slave of Christ may be the best way to define a Christian. We are, as believers, slaves of Christ. Well, if you read the New Testament in its original text, you would come away stunned, really, by how different the original text is from any English version that you've ever read, whether King James, New King James, New American Standard, ESV, NIV, and you can name all the rest. All of them, virtually, have found a way to mask something that is an absolutely critical element of truth. In fact, the word slave appears in the New Testament 130 times in the original text. You will find it once in the King James. Once the Greek word slave is translated slave. You will find it translated slave a few other times in other texts like the New King James text and even the New American Standard text. And it will be translated slave when, one, it refers to actual slavery, or two, it refers to some kind of bondage to an inanimate reality. But whenever it is personalized, the translators seem unwilling to translate it slave. For example, in Matthew 6:24, Jesus said this, "No man can be a slave to two masters." What does your Bible say? No man can serve two masters. The favorite word for slave is servant, favorite English word. Very often, bond servant is used, which tends to move in the right direction, but is not exactly slave. There are plenty of words for servant. There is only one word for slave, doulos and soon doulos. Yet in the history of the evangelical translation of the Greek into the English, all the translators consistently have avoided the use of the word. Now, having said that by way of introduction, and that's all that is. What characterized a slave? And I'm going to pull it together for you here, I hope. Let me give you five things to think about, okay? One, exclusive ownership. Exclusive ownership. Servant could be hired and quit. A slave was owned. That means exclusive ownership because he was bought with a price. Does that sound like New Testament talk? Two, complete and constant availability and obedience. Complete and constant availability and obedience. Three, subject to one alien will. No man can be a slave to two masters, right? Impossible. You could have two employers. You could have a day job and a night job. But you can't have two masters who have total control over you because they both own you. And everybody knew that. That's why that statement is self-evident. No man can be a slave to two masters. So, exclusive ownership by one master, complete, constant availability and obedience to that one master, and simple in the sense that it's singular, let's call it singular devotion to that one master. That's New Testament talk too, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Have no other gods. Do all that you do to please Him, to honor Christ. Fourth, the slave had complete dependence on his master for everything. For everything. Absolutely everything. And fifth, all discipline and reward came from that one master. That's what it was to be a slave. You were owned by one person. You were completely and constantly to be available and obedient to that one master. You had one consuming raison d'etre, reason to live, and that was to please that master. You were dependent on that master for absolutely everything. And all discipline and reward came at the discretion of that master. All of that is directly connected to what it means to be a slave of Jesus Christ. We are owned by Him because we've been bought with a price. We are in a position of complete and constant availability and obedience to that one master. To the degree that we can say, not my will, but thine be done. All the time. We are singular in our devotion, and that means we have no other master to obey and no other master to serve. And that's why the New Testament says you cannot, these are the words of Jesus, serve God and money. You can't serve God and anything else. Fourthly, as believers, we are totally dependent upon our one master for everything. Protection, provision, now and in the future. Totally dependent on Him. That too is what it means to be a Christian. We only have the spiritual resources that are provided for us by our master. And all discipline and reward comes from that master. That's what it means to be a Christian. I can't tell you how many years I have gone through discussions with people about the lordship of Christ. Let me tell you something real simple. Kurios and doulos are two words that describe both sides of a relationship. If there is a slave, let me tell you something, there is a Lord. If there is a slave, there is a master. If there's a master, there's a slave. You don't call yourself a master if you don't have a slave, and you're not a slave if you don't have a master. That's why the New Testament never even bothers to defend the idea, as it were, of whether or not when you come to Christ, He is your Lord. That is patently obvious. When you confess Jesus as Lord, you are at the same time confessing yourself as slave. There's no other way to view it. Kurios and doulos are the two sides of the relationship. A slave is someone whose life belongs totally to someone else. Absolute ownership, absolute control, absolute subjection, absolute obedience, absolute loyalty, absolute dependence. Slavery, then, was a social relationship between two persons where one had nothing, willed nothing, and received nothing but what the master authorized, desired, and provided. Now, if you don't grasp that idea of slavery, and a lot of us, we miss it because it's been hidden from our English text, it's hard for us to really understand the essence of what it is to be a Christian. You are a slave of Jesus Christ. You are owned. You have been purchased by His blood, Acts 20. You have been bought, not with silver and gold, but with what? 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have been purchased, Revelation 5:9. You have no independent rights. Slaves had no rights. Slaves owned nothing. They could not own their own property. In the eyes of the law, they were not citizens. They could hold no public office. They were completely under the discretion and the provision and the protection and the care and the abuse, in an earthly sense, of their owner. The New Testament, listen, does not condemn slavery. Doesn't. The New Testament doesn't condone slavery. Just recognizes that it exists. Look, the New Testament does regulate it, tells slaves how to act if they're Christians, and it tells masters how to act if they're Christians. The slaves are to serve as if they're serving Christ. Didn't I read you that in Ephesians 6, 5 and 6? And the masters are to conduct themselves with their slaves in a way that honors Christ. And that plays out in the wonderful little book of Philemon. Colossians 3 says the same thing. Look at Colossians 3:22. Colossians 3, slaves, and it's talking to those who actually are slaves. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. That's the way the system works. Do it. Here you have it very clearly indicated that the New Testament does not call for the abolishing of slavery. It doesn't condemn it. It doesn't condone it. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Then I love this. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's not what it says. It is the Lord Christ to whom you are enslaved. Enslaved. In other words, because of your slavery to Christ, you conduct your earthly slavery in a way that honors Christ. If you're a master, You conduct your care of the slaves in a Christ-honoring way. If you're a slave, you conduct your life in a Christ-honoring way. There was a great upside to being a slave of a benevolent, gracious, generous, kind, compassionate master. I can't think of a better life. In the church, slaves and masters blended. Galatians 3:28, in Christ there's neither bond nor free. All are one. But Christianity doesn't overthrow the social structure. Christianity was not a social reconstruction movement. By the way, if Christianity exists to abolish slavery, then Jesus and the apostles failed miserably. And they're guilty of a massive failure. They didn't abolish slavery. Rather than abolish slavery, this is amazing, the Spirit of God took the slave metaphor because it was the best metaphor to describe our personal relationship to Christ. He bought us. He owns us. We are devoted to Him and to Him alone. To be obedient to Him at all times, we have no will but His will. He is our Lord. We confess Him as Lord. That's exactly what He demanded. Remember the words of Luke 9:23. We've repeated them so many times. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's slave talk. That's slave talk. Take up his cross and follow me. It's the end of you. The end of your life. You're finished. It's over. You're done. You are now the slave of Jesus Christ. And it's not burdensome. Jesus said, take my yoke, because my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. And you'll find rest. A slave could have some status, but the status the slave had was related to who his master was. That's why it was an honor to be part of Caesar's household, even though you were a slave. You were a slave at the highest level. And we have no honor for ourselves other than that honor that comes to us because of who our master is, right? And that's why the apostles could say, I'm a slave of God. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. That's where the honor came from. And I submit to Him for all my needs. I'm dependent on Him as my protector and my provider. And I submit to all His discipline of my failures and my disobedience, that He might conform me more to His will. And I submit to Him someday for that reward which He determines is suitable to give to me when I come before Him and hear, well done, good and faithful slave. Let Him give me what He will. And by the way, you're going to be a slave to someone. Being a slave to Jesus Christ is beyond any kind of slavery that anybody ever knew, because this master, listen to this one, makes us sons and gives us all the rights of His own sons. He adopts us into His family, calls us joint heirs with Christ, takes us to heaven where we rule and reign from His own throne, and pours out all the lavish riches in His possession forever and ever and ever for our own unmitigated joy and His own glory. Who wouldn't want to be a slave under that master? What a joy to be a slave of Christ.
You've been been listening to John MacArthur here on Grace to You Weekend. Today's lesson took a close look at one of the most profound aspects of Christianity. The Bible says you, me, all of us who belong to Jesus should think of ourselves as slaves for Christ. And that's the title of John MacArthur's current message. Well, this concept of being a slave, John, I know that you understand that that can be a hard concept for many to accept. How hopeful are you that folks, and I mean Christians, are really going to embrace this kind of slavery, being Christ's slave, and know the blessing that comes from that?
I'm very hopeful, Carl, because I know true believers love the Scripture. They honor the Scripture. They feed on the Scripture. They see the Scripture for what it is, the source of their spiritual growth and blessing. And all we have to do is unpack what the Scripture says. In this case, the case of Slave, the new book, that's a challenge because the original Greek word slave, doulos, has been covered up in English translations. Because the translators, and I'm talking back to the 16th century on until today, felt that the concept of being a slave had too much stigma, and so they changed the word to servant or some form of servant. And consequently, they obscured this profound, powerful, far-reaching, sweeping identification of a believer. The book is now out after 3 years of work. The title, Slave, The Hidden Truth About Your Identity in Christ. The response has been unbelievable to this book. You're a slave of Christ if you're a believer. He's your Lord. You're his slave. The implications of that are unbelievably important and glorious. Get your copy from Grace to You today. The title again, Slave.
Friend, you may never read the New Testament the same way or think about your salvation in the same terms after reading this book. Order your copy of the book today. It's simply titled Slave. Dial our toll-free number, 1-800-55-GRACE, to order yours, or go online to gty.org. John's new book, Slave, is affordably priced in hardcover, and remember, shipping is free. Again, order by phone, 855-GRACE, call anytime 24 hours a day, or go online to gty.org. While you're at the website, please take advantage of the thousands of sermons available free in the MP3 format. Remember, you can download the free iPod application, find answers to your tough Bible questions, read the Grace to You blog, and much more. That's all online at gty.org. Also, friend, if you share John's passion for verse-by-verse Bible teaching, keep in mind this September's Truth Matters Conference hosted by John and the staff. To register, use the website truthmattersconference.org. Thanks, too, for remembering that Grace to You is a listener-supported ministry. To express your support and help us take God's truth to spiritually hungry folks, write to Grace to You Weekend, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412, or call 1-800-55-GRACE. And now, for John MacArthur and the staff, I'm your host, Carl Miller. Thanks for joining us today. Remember that you can see Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378 or watch online at gty.org. And then join us here next week for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.